a week on, I'm still trying to work out just how significant last Friday night was for Geelong, for Richmond particularly. I'll be fascinated to see how they go against the Giants tomorrow night. And as was quickly identified by, I think, everyone in the media, for the whole rest of the competition and what it means and how many teams are in contention. So Cats have to try and back it up tonight. And the Saints playing Geelong and then the Bulldogs next week. Imagine if they could win those two. Wouldn't it transform their season? So can't wait to see what we're delivered tonight.
Jared Healy, good evening.
Good evening to you, Jared, and to Hutto. I'm a bit with you, Hutto. I thought it electrified the season in many ways, the Cats coming through. They were pretty sloppy early, beaten by Adelaide in round one. Got beaten by the Swans when they should have won by 35 points. Smacked the Eagles, so they'd been a bit up and down. But I think last weekend, we saw them at their very best, and the additions certainly worked. And I guess we now have them very much in contention again. It's amazing how quickly Geelong supporters can come on and go off.
Let's be honest, Jared, any club supporters can go on and off.
And Jordan Lewis rounds out our quartet tonight. Hello, Jordy.
G'day, boys. I was down at that West Coast game v Geelong, and you could see it. A stark difference in not only their contest, but the way they moved the ball. And that has certainly continued on in the last 3 weeks. But, I mean, that third quarter last week against Richmond, Richmond looked second rate. They just could not stop this Geelong onslaught. And that's the challenge for St Kilda tonight. Probably primarily a big reason why Frawley has been brought back into the side. He got great record against Tom Hawkins. So they structure up okay down there, but the midfield battle is huge tonight. And Zach Jones out.
Yeah, it's a big one.
He's massive because he was a point of difference. And if you look across their other midfielders, they're a bit same. They're a bit one-paced. So who do they inject into that midfield to give them that spark tonight would be interesting.
Well, the good news is that Billings has started to play some good footy. Steals had a good season. I think Crouch also, his last couple of weeks, have certainly from a ratings perspective, he's been much, much better. But they had to work hard for their win against the Suns, so they don't come in with any great form. But the beauty for me is that if they're to win, I think Ryder has to be a significant player for them. He just seems to be a spiritual leader, but also he gives them that extra dynamic through the middle of the ground, the bloke who can go forward.
And it's been a point of weakness, obviously, at times for the Cats in the past. Max King, I know Brett Ratton's kind of sick of answering questions about him, but I'm still wondering if this breakout match is going to happen soon or not. He did kick five a few weeks ago. The amount of times he gets his hands to the footy, does that just click at some stage, Geordie, or will it never actually click and he just gradually gets better, do you think?
Well, I think once he builds up his strength, like if you still look at him, he still looks quite raw. And effectively, as Brett Ratton said, he's effectively in his second year of footy. So he hasn't had much experience. Now you're coming up against usually a key defender because he is really there.
Yeah.
Their number one forward. If it was memory as the number one forward, then we might see a little bit more of a fast progression coming up against a defender that is not as good. But certainly him having the number one defender every week hasn't helped. But, I mean, like you said, the amount of times he gets his hands on the ball and there's no contact, but he still drops them, for me that's a little bit of a worry rather than there being contact when he marks the ball. But he's getting his hands on them. As Brett Ratton said, that's the positive. But one day it'll click.
Our pre-game show is for Beaumont Tiles Trade Club and for Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends. The overall of St Kilda, so the last time they were in the prime time slot was the Thursday night where they got pulverised by Richmond. Kane had them banished from such time slots, but here they are back on a Friday night to show their wares. So there'll be heavy judgment that sits on tonight either way. This is either the night they plant their flag and go, yes, the remnants of last year are in us and we can forge our way forward, or we'll learn that they're a long way from the standard and have actually regressed from last year.
Hard to dispute any of that. It's time to put up or shut up in some respects. I know they have got still a couple of guys out, but everybody's got a couple of guys out. And it may not even be the necessity to win. Certainly that is the objective, but you wouldn't want to put in a poor performance and get belted by 10 goals. And the way Geelong played last week and the way the Saints played last week, that is a possibility. So I think we come here hopeful that the Saints can put up a really competitive effort. A lot of things are going to have to go right for them, and a lot of things go wrong for Geelong, I think, for them to win. But if they can get off to a good start, then hopefully we're going to see a competitive match. But I'm with you, Jared. I think there'll be howls of derision if, in fact, they're up on a Friday night and they don't produce a competitive effort.
Well, reputations are on the line every single time you go out onto the field, aren't they? None more so than a Friday night against probably the informed side of the competition. And now St Kilda are a side that are criticised. I think they've had that period where if they had a bad loss, it's okay. You know, they're young, they're developing, but they've shown us what they can produce last year. So now they're in that conversation. If they don't perform well, then comes the heavy criticism. So tonight is a huge opportunity for them to be back on the big stage against a good opponent to make a statement. And I'm a little bit with you. It's not if they win or lose. It's about how that happens. If it's a loss and they do it the right way and they don't lose by much, they don't get belted off the park, that's okay. Supporters and fans like us can accept that. But if they get belted tonight and just don't show up, well, then the criticism comes.
Do they have a weapon? You've mentioned Ryder already, Jared. Is there a weapon St Kilda have that would concern Geelong, do you think?
Oh, I think Bradley Hill. You know, he's probably started the season slowly, but he's moved to halfback. I think he's really been a big part of their transition off halfback, and they look a different side when he's got the ball in hand. So I wouldn't be surprised if Geelong either sat someone on him or made him accountable from a defensive point of view, because if there's one weakness in his game, it is his one-on-one defence, because he's never played there, he's never had to play there. So if they can try and isolate Bradley Hill, one stop his run, but isolate him in the forward 50, that would be a big advantage for Geelong.
They certainly needed to inject some run off the half-back line. At this stage, Nick Caulfield's lost his spot, and he needs to go back and get a little bit more proactive with his running. He needs to get a little bit more athleticism into his game. But the move of Hill, I think, was so obviously it needed to happen, A, for Hill, but also for St Kilda to get some bounce out of there. Sinclair was another one who just trailed off after a fantastic couple of weeks early in the piece and last year. So they've got a couple of rebounders now that can give them some run, and they probably need to get it off the half-back line because, as you've already pointed out, that their mids are a little bit one-paced.
Yep.
I'm not saying their last 2 weeks have solved a great deal, because all it's really done is level them up. But with Ryder and Marshall there, that's the version of St Kilda that made ground last year. However, with the ball, with their positioning, whatever it is they were a shadow through those first 6 weeks when they weren't together. And at least there is that looming threat of the two of them.
No, I think you're right. And I mean, it's amazing how quickly confidence dissipates from one season to another. A couple of key outs and all of a sudden the chemistry's not quite there. You haven't got the extra tall in the forward line, so King's not getting it done and Membry's not getting it done. You're not getting the rebound off the half-back line. People are keeping their defence solid, so Butler's not running onto a lot of goals. I mean, last year they got, I think it was something like 35% of their goals or thereabouts from within the 15-metre area. I mean, they are not getting those goals now because everybody understands the way they've played, and they're probably going through a reconditioning on how they're playing at this stage because that method was taken away from them.
Well, you certainly wouldn't think that that's the way that they would play tonight. I think if St Kilda are going to win, you need to keep the Geelong defence honest, and that usually means keeping six forwards of the ball, and as a forward, you try and drag your opponent up as far as you can to the point where they drop off, and then that's when you've got to stop and re-engage your defender. I don't think you can make a case for another two players in any other side that are as important to their side than Ryder and Marshall. They are the difference in the last 2 weeks. They just look like a totally different side with those two players in.
St Kilda's threat is speed, at least notionally here. Do you think Geelong will play them in a different way? Will Geelong go back to their slow style to counter St Kilda's speed, or will what you've identified over the past 4 weeks, is that what we'll get?
I think that's what we'll get, yeah. I think the reason why Geelong are able to play that way now is because they're so defensively sound behind the ball. And usually that is a what we call a goalkeeper, so either Stewart or one of their defenders hanging right back, which allows them to be a little bit more bolder with the ball. And even watching last week, I mean, they go for kicks. Richmond had defended quite well in the middle of the ground, but Geelong would try and take kicks in between three Richmond defenders. So if you're St Kilda, you are going to get your opportunities to turn the ball over in the middle of the ground. You need to be composed with that possession. But I wouldn't imagine Geelong would change the way they've been playing the last 3 weeks. The last 4 weeks, if you look at all the categories that Champion Data put out, they are nearly top four in every single category that they produce. Their game is in a really good shape.
It helps when you beat a team by 100 points, though, and another team by 60 in that month, doesn't it?
Yeah, but
we saw it last week.
They're not beating mugs.
Yeah,
you know, West Coast. Yes, they're undermanned, but they took care of them. And then Richmond last week, they beat them by 63 points. So they're not sides that were sort of, you know, North Melbourne or the sides that are right down the bottom in the development phase.
It is interesting.
You're trying to play it down, Hutto?
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want to jinx your side.
I'll be interested just to see how quickly St Kilda moved the ball, because I've looked at them a lot this year, and The side that they played with last year, they look quick, but maybe it was just quick ball movement. But without Zach Jones in the side, you know, they've got Loney and Higgins and Billings. I'm trying to find some blokes who are quick in this side. I mean, Battle's reasonably quick for a tall bloke. But, you know, when you've got so many talls in that forward line with Marshall and Membry, and King's tall for his size, but, I mean, he's not a player that runs the lines, etc. I reckon the Cats are just as quick, if not quicker.
Well, yeah,
they're in their ball movement.
They're mids now. You know, Ross, Steele, and Crouch. If you just look at those three, none of them are speedsters, are they? So, but obviously they do have, you know, Hill, who can run, and when Billings is up and running, he can move well. But it's a reasonable point. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, you'd love to see the speed on the tackle and the speed on the pressure, because the ball movement speed is ultimately what we're chasing in football. It doesn't matter how many quick guys you've got or slow blokes you've got, but if you're moving the ball quickly, then that's a totally different thing, because ultimately you want to get into the forward line as quickly as you can if you've got an outnumber, or basically you want to try and chase them down if you've weak in defence.
I know we're standing by to speak to Matty Knight, so we'll stay on this game largely, but just the broader picture from what Geelong did, and how many teams are genuine contenders now in our eyes? Is it seven?
Yeah, well, I would say Geelong, Western Bulldogs, Melbourne, Port Adelaide.
Brisbane.
Well, West Coast, if they get their best side in, is a contender.
Yeah.
Probably the top eight minus the Swans. I don't see them being a premiership contender.
I think Brisbane are a run below those.
Do you?
Especially those three sides, yeah.
See, it's interesting because I did think that at the start of the season, but having watched them and done their matches the last 2 weeks, gee, they're coming, and they're coming with some unknown quantities, some kids that are just developing before our eyes, and they've still got, you know, Berry and Lachie Neal out of that side. So I think they're still a red hot chance at this stage. And Joe Danaher has added, not so much as the forward, but he's added the midfield to me was the worry for them. And Joe Danaher as a second ruck has just given them another level of run. It's been terrific.
We'll circle back through this because the shape of the season and what happens with Richmond tomorrow night is such a rich theme of this weekend. But as you mentioned, Matty Knights is with us, one of the coaches down at Geelong. Matty, always great to have you on AFL Nation.
Hey, Jared.
What sort of shape would you describe the game in for Geelong at the moment? As Geordie's run us through the measurements of the past 4 weeks, it feels pretty impressive. Is it about where you want it to be?
Yeah, we certainly had some things to really improve on after the first 3 or 4 weeks. We felt the North Melbourne game, even though we didn't hit the scoreboard as readily as we would have liked, we probably wasted some opportunity. We thought we started to get a few of the areas going with our contested footy and the way we're playing our footy in that game, and probably only snippets, but then we've built a little bit over the last month. Obviously, the form has been pleasing to get some wins, and got a small loss, or a small margin loss to Sydney, which is, you know, a cracking game. But yeah, the form on has been much better. I think the individuals themselves are playing much better, and even guys like Jeremy Cameron, Isaac Smith, Sean Higgins, having an extra 3 or 4 games with our group, I think has really helped. The synergy between the groups starting to come through.
Matty, every year there's sort of wins that you can't quite work out, and there's losses that you can't quite comprehend. Can you take us back to round one where you got beaten by Adelaide and analyse that for us as to why you think it happened?
Yeah, I didn't really want you to take me back that far, Jared, to Adelaide. But, they come out really hot. And it was interesting because Adelaide's pre-season form wasn't anything to write home about, but they played really real level and intent that day, and they got out in front, you know, 5-6 goals. It was a warm day, and you know, we just didn't use the ball well. We coughed and sputtered with the ball in our hands. We were beaten around the contest. I thought their mids did a good job against us that day, and yeah, we reeled them back late in the game, but we just get too much of a lead. You know, that they were good. We were pretty average. So credit to them, but you know, thankfully we've got some form moving over the last month. But you look back now, and you know, it's a lost opportunity, but that happens sometimes against certain teams, and just got to make sure we keep the wins rolling from this point onwards. A pretty even season, and you know, just got to make sure we keep the W's coming along.
Nodder, as we look out of the commentary box, I can see you with a footy at your feet. How much would you love to grab that footy and become a part of the game?
it was interesting. Sean Higgins asked me before the cheeky bugger, did I actually play here? And I said I played here. It was actually a bit bumpier than this. It was a bit sandier and it was patchy and. But it's been out here. Looks magnificent tonight. So played here. Played at a few of the grounds like Vic Park and the Western Oval. And, it was great footy days. But you always think you probably can still play a little bit. But the old muscles and bones probably won't take you there, mate.
Looking to the opposition tonight, I mean, St Kilda looked like a totally different side with Rowan and Marshall. So that's clearly something you would have analysed during the. What's another part of their game that would have you on high alert tonight?
Yeah, having Ryder back and coached Ryder when he was a young player, he had beautiful hands, a beautiful craft. He's so deft with his tap work, and he gets to ground really quickly too, which is probably a little bit underrated. And then Marshall's just that, you know, that great workhorse type ruckman. So those two players have added a fair bit in the last month. I think they've made a few positional changes. Hill's moved to half back and given us some nice spring from there. Now, whether he lines up there tonight or wing, we're not sure, but he's been a noticeable improver in the last sort of couple of weeks. And, you know, with Member and King up front, they're formidable. So, you know, we don't underestimate the talent they've got on every line. And, you know, they play this ground well. So we're going to have to be on high alert and really ready for tonight.
Can I ask you where Blitzarves is going to play? It seems like it could be one of maybe five or six positions, wing, half back, ruck rover. Do you guys actually Full know back. At the present time where he's playing?
Well, we used to love when he'd go third man up as a winger, but they changed the rule for us there. Yeah. He's, you know, early in the season he was playing back predominantly. When we went with a standalone ruckman, we went with a different model last week where he shared the role with Radigalia. Radigalia's sub was first up last week, so we didn't want to shoulder him too much of the load in the ruck, but Blitz was able to help him enormously, and it was really important for them to get over Nankervis last week. Nankervis was huge against the Bulldogs the week before, so it was pretty pivotal, that matchup for us last week. But Jared, you're right. He's, you know, he can play on a wing, and he's as capable as any of our other wingmen in this team. He can do a run with roll, so he does present the match committee with a few headaches most weeks.
What position can he play? Is there a spot in the ground he couldn't play, do you reckon?
Forward would be interesting. I think seeing the game in front of him is always a good thing, and I think even you can do that sometimes from the wing. I think forward is something he hasn't tasted yet, but I think anything midfield back, he would be able to play. I think he'd be able to play on a small high half forward even, just with his running capacity and his concentration. As I said, he's played run with roles on Fife and Fontenpelli and guys like that in the past. And, you know, I guess Guthrie and O'Connor have done that for us in recent times, so he hasn't been asked to do that. But there's not many positions he can't play. We're very lucky to have him. He's such a great team player.
We're going to keep on nailing you on this one, Nida. Last week, Richmond had just two tools, so you can play him on the wing. Tonight, St Kilda have notionally got four tools. So does that give us an indication that you're going to experiment and find others so he can play on the wing, or is he going to go into the ruck from the back half?
Yeah, I think you'll probably see that the latter, Jared. I mean, even though we've got, you know, they've got two, we think we've probably got three with Hawkins, Radigalia and Blitzars. And Hawk's really improved his forward 40 to 50 ruck work the last year or two. It's just amazing. Like, so he does help out our rucks. I think the latter, more the back half and the ruck help.
We're done. Matty, thanks for your time.
Thank you. See you guys.
Good on you. Matthew Knights down on Marvel Stadium. Down in front of us, the Cats will be out to warm up shortly. A few of the Saints have meandered out onto the ground. So that was for the Geelong Community Solar Program, our major partner for tonight's match.
It's interesting, Matthew Knights started his coaching career at Essendon. It was always a tough job following Kevin Sheedy. You never want to walk into the seat that previously been occupied by a legend. And he had a bit of success, coached them to finals and then got tipped out. But he's got a big reputation down at Geelong. And yet when, you know, potential coaches
doesn't
get
really get
mentioned,
talked about, does he?
He doesn't. I think Adam Uzo's been quietly talked about as the next cab off the rank. But Matthew Knights would have to be talked to, surely.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really interesting, wouldn't it, to know whether... I think we've asked him a couple of times over the journey, and he certainly hasn't said he wouldn't. Mm. But he probably just didn't leave and it's a long time ago. It didn't end in a great fashion at Essendon.
No.
And for some, that reputation can sort of scar you forever and not be talked about for whatever reason.
Yeah, and for some, it may just be that you are an unbelievably good 2IC.
Yeah. But he'd have to be a much better senior coach now than
I
he was then.
Yeah. I mean, he might have been a pretty good one back then.
He might have been. Yeah, he just had troublemakers like Lloydie to deal with.
One thing, he did mention ground. How many different grounds did you play on?
Well, I used to think it was significant when a ground came up that you hadn't played on.
Yeah.
So we played on a lot of suburban grounds, and they eventually went the way of the dodo.
Did you play Corio Oval, Jared, or was Cadinia Park?
It was Cadinia Park way back then. That's one that didn't change. I played on a lot of those grounds that in state footy that weren't home and away games back then, but they killed me when Footy Park became Adelaide Oval, so there was another one. But it was a different feel. Playing at Windy Hill was a real challenge. Playing at Moorabbin was a local venue for me, so I used to enjoy it, even though the mud was a challenge in its own right. Didn't play at Glenferrie Oval. Did you ever train at Glenferrie?
Yeah, we had a year and a half when I first came to Hawthorn. We had a year and a half there, and I just couldn't believe they used to play there.
You couldn't, could you? Yeah.
You may as well play 14 aside.
Yeah.
What about it was that small?
The Sean Graff High Performance Oval at the Junction Oval? I played there.
No,
that was about...
That's a great venue to go and watch.
It was a great venue to watch. It was a pretty small venue, though.
I tell you what, VFL Park, it was the bane of everyone's existence. And I think I was probably working with you, Jared, back at AW when it shut down. The moment we knew it was going to close down, we took 18 solid months of people saying, no, I love VFL. The sentiment just changed completely.
We ran a campaign to save it.
That's right.
Because they were going to build this indoor stadium. I remember discussing it with Ross Oakley and asked him about the problems with the grass.
That's right.
And his answer was, oh, we'll have it solved by then. And it reminded me when Matthew Knights talked about the sand.
Yeah. Hutchie's.
And Hutchie went ballistic and got the sack almost, I think, from Channel
got
7
suspended.
When he said it was the deserts of Arabia or something along those lines.
Death Valley,
I think. The ground's come a long way, and probably Hutchie's come a long way as well.
Yeah, probably has.
There's a game on today from 2010, and the ground was in horrible condition. Yeah. So look out here now. They've certainly got the rest of the
Jared almost got killed by the security guard out the front too.
Right,
showed enormous courage.
And they had that day where the wrestling was here on the Saturday night, which they de-rigged and then played a game here the following day, which is utterly absurd.
The one thing, Jared, I think most people that come to the ground don't realise, there is actually stands underneath the stands, and they're still here.
Yep.
They have never been
used. They were going to be pushed out.
They got moved
every second week.
And damaged the turf and were never moved again. Our experts tonight for car sales, unique insights and exclusive perks with car sales for owners. Simon Lethlean from the Saints is going to join us in our pre-match show as well. The new Hyundai Kona is seriously good fun and seriously good value. This small SUV radiates style and can be yours from just $28,990 drive away. Kona takes driving to a whole new level. Test drive the Hyundai Kona today. There's a lot kicking around. So the challenge facing Richmond, what should Carlton be doing with Paddy Cripps? How long will the Hawthorn rebuild take? We will explore all of that in our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles Trade Club and for Hard Yakka.